Welcome to The Business of Medicine with Sharon Hollander. This is the show that reveals the behind-the-scenes secrets of healthcare. With the changing rules, regulations, and challenges facing healthcare, you can't afford to miss this information. Now, here's Sharon Hollander.
Good morning. Welcome to the program today. We have a very special guest that we're talking about. One of the biggest changes that is coming to healthcare this year is the migration to the ICD-10 codes. And you probably heard me talk about it because it's on everybody's mind and it's very, very scary. We're migrating from a book from the World Health Organization that used to have something like 14,000 codes, and we're changing to over 68,000 codes. In addition, for the data sets, it's changing from a 3 to 5 digit code to a 5 to 7 digit, I believe, alphanumeric. Anyway, our guest today is Lisa Asbell, and she's an absolute expert in training providers and healthcare organizations on the migration to ICD-10. So we're very lucky to have her this morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Sharon. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to come on and share with you guys.
So tell me, primarily, are you training providers or you're training billing companies or organizations or all of the above?
Well, Sharon, we do. I do a little bit of all of the above. I travel the country and speak in hospitals and speak for associations and go into private practices as well. But typically, because of the timing and how we're running out of time to make this huge transition, we are doing larger meetings, you know, like association, state, and national, where we're just putting as many people in the room as we can get and sharing information.
And so, but in your opinion, do you think, like, the healthcare, especially the third parties, are they ready to receive data with the ICD-10?
Well, let me just say this. It's not just my opinion, but it's a fact that only about 5% of providers are where they need to be in the ICD-10 timeline and about 40% of hospitals. So nobody is ready today. And, you know, very few probably will be ready over the next couple of months. And we're in a crisis nationwide as far as the ICD-10 transition.
So tell us a little bit, like, do you have sort of like a step-by-step outline on what providers should be doing at this point? Because I still have providers.
You know,
I spoke to one last week who said to me, do you think I need to take a few classes? And I'm like, you think?
Right. Well, let me just say, number one, he doesn't need to take any classes. If he does his own coding, of course, then he might get familiar with his own top codes. Number two, he needs to worry about the documentation aspects to make sure that he's where he needs to be there. Those are the two top things. But let me just say this. One of the biggest myths with ICD-10, and I have been coaching and teaching and training on this, you know, all over the country for the past year, and people still are not getting it. This is a change in management. This is an invasive, pervasive change that affects every single area of the practice. You cannot succeed with ICD-10 transition if you just think you can send your coders to a class. You will fail miserably. This is, you know, if you can just, and I always say this, just imagine in your practice or hospital, whatever kind of organization you have, and if you're somebody that serves a vendor partner and you serve healthcare and you serve providers in hospitals, everywhere there's an ICD-9 code, there's an impact percent. So whether it's an intake form or something on the computer when that patient presents and a child got hurt in soccer at school, there's more questions to ask now than ever before. It does matter if you have asthma, if there's a smoker in the home. All of those things matter that never mattered before. And when that person presents at that practice or that hospital for that issue or challenge, whatever they're being seen for, there's a 9 code and will be a 10 code that will be significant changes at the front. And then it goes to scheduling and pre-authorizations and surgeries and outpatient referrals like PT, DME, OT. And the list just goes on and on. And that's why just putting your people in a class is just, I mean, you're asking for an epic fail if you do that. So what we train providers on a national basis is they have to look at this as managing a project of change management. So there are about 150 steps to do to actually transition to ICD-10 that have absolutely nothing to do with your EMR company doing it for you or your billing company doing it for you. They're internal processes that your project manager or practice manager, whoever you designate to be in charge of it, has to take control of. And if they don't do that, you're going to fail. It's estimated that 10 to 15% of private practices will fail, 1 to 3% of hospitals will fail, and that's a fact, Jack. It's going to happen, and we've seen it happen in other countries. You know, Canada has never recovered from the ICD-10 transition. They're still, you know, 40% behind in productivity, and they've never recovered. And, you know, I always, and I'm very careful to say this, Sharon, that I don't preach doom and gloom about ICD-10. I think there's some great benefits of it. But I also think that there's some work to do on the front end. And if you don't do the work on the front end, I always say it as, you know, 20 years as a labor and delivery nurse, I always compare it to having a baby, right? That there's a lot of labor pain to see that baby. And if you don't really go through the labor pains over the next 7 months, you're going to see a pretty darn ugly baby because it's not going to be pretty for your practice. And that's a fact. I mean, it's the way it is.
Right.
And,
so, but when you say fail, I mean, what does that entail? That means that
I mean, go out of business. I mean, go out of business. I mean, have to close their doors because of the impact of ICD-10.
But see, I don't even think that providers, I know the ones that I've talked to, they just minimize it. They just think, well, it's just learning a bunch of new codes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it's education. And a lot of it is just the typical doctor mentality. And I know as a registered nurse for 20 years, this is the way they, this is how they roll. You know, they want to put it off and, you know, shame on the AMA and shame on, you know, other organizations who continue to say it's going to be delayed. We're going to have another delay. Don't worry about it. They're going to push it back. The payers are going to grant leniency. You know, everybody's making the big huff about it because, you know, these vendors want to scare you to death so that you give them money, right? So people look at it, and some of these providers look at it that way because that's the way they want to look at it. They, you know, meaningful use has really pulled the rug out from under them, and I'm not a meaningful use expert. I don't really even understand all the changes in healthcare, like with Obamacare. I don't know all of those things. That's not my area of specialty, but the bottom line is all of these changes are overwhelming to these doctors, and unfortunately for them, they're doing what they've done with every other change. Meaningful use would not have been overwhelmed for them if they had not put their head in the sand about that. So they just continue, and listen, I don't want to sound like a Dr. Basher either. I love doctors, and I love
healthcare. Come on, it's only a hobby.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not a full-time job. It's just a hobby. But, you know, I love being a healthcare provider myself for many years. So I love them, and I really have a passion for private practice. But somebody has to come along and kind of, like, shake them, right, till their teeth rattle and say, guys, wake up. You know, this is the only change in healthcare in 30 years where you will have no money if you don't get it right. No money. $0.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it impacts patient care in the end. I mean, it just is, it's just the biggest change ever. And they don't understand. And if you can imagine me traveling the country for the past year, man, I'm worn out. I'm worn out. At talking to these doctors and them still going, oh, well, the AMA just came out with something again, which was last week, right? So the AMA again just came out with, because there was a new study that says it may cost providers up to 3 times what we originally thought. So originally five provider practice, it might be 80,000. Now we're saying 250,000. I don't think that's true. I don't think that that's actually going to happen. But, you know, the bottom line is it just creates mass confusion. And I really understand partially the reason the AMA is doing these things. You know, they do want to protect doctors. But the bottom line is it's the almighty dollar, too, for the AMA. They do own the royalties on CPT codes. And as we move to ICD-10 and then 15 years from now to ICD-11, CPT codes will disappear. And there will be millions and millions of dollars in revenue that the AMA is missing. And so, you know, while they do want to protect their members, who is the actual, you know, the providers, the doctors, at the same time, you know, there's always a self-serving piece to that as well.
Interest, yeah.
And you know, I have a self-serving piece, right? I feed my family by doing consulting on this. But at the same time, I'm very fair to say, hey, I don't want to preach doom and gloom. Maybe it'll go seamlessly and it'll be okay. You know,
have
to. I live in Florida, right? And so we call it Hurricane Central. Well, I can never know if that hurricane's really going to hit or miss. But when the hype comes out saying it's headed my way, we prepare. We prepare for it. Then if it misses us, great. And ICD-10 is a hurricane. And these providers better get prepared, and these hospitals better get prepared. And then if it is a miss and it does blow over and it goes a different direction, it doesn't, then that's okay. They're prepared.
Right. Yeah, because they'll weather the storm, so to speak, as the analogy. But, I mean, like, in terms of the documentation, I mean, I still have some providers who, you know, I teach some, you know, preliminary classes also on coding, but it's very, like, basic. And I still have, you know, attendees who are confused about the documentation guidelines and the decision-making in selecting the correct the CPT code, especially with evaluation and management codes. So how are these guys going to even, you know, weather this storm with ICD-10?
Well, it doesn't matter. If they don't have an impact assessment, and they don't have a budget, and they don't have a practice manager, and they haven't assessed everything in their office that needs to be addressed, and they're not talking to their vendors, and they're not talking to the payers, it doesn't matter about their code. See, again, I can never propagate that it's all about coding and managing patients and selecting the right CPT codes and all of those things. I mean, it doesn't even matter if they don't do the first steps and get it in order, Sharon. And that's what we need to be sharing with these guys. There are a million vendors out there that will teach classes. That they can get education through webinars, online, on-site seminars. You can have, we actually do some on-site where we go to the practice and train 20 OBGYNs in an 8-hour practice, you know, or in an 8-hour day and do an on-site seminar for those guys. I mean, there's all kinds of different avenues out there for that. We don't need to worry about that. Let's, for the next 60 or 90 days, get these guys woken up to the fact that this is an all-hands-on-deck approach. It's change management. Do you have a system for anointing? Yeah, let's anoint them. They need it. Appointing a project manager or your practice manager. Do you have, you know, milestones and tasks set? Can you put together a team, even if your practice is only 2 providers and 3 employees or 8 employees? You know, who can help us do the impact assessment? Who can help us do a budget? Who can help us decide how we're going to train people? Who can handle all the forms in the office? Who can contact our vendors? Who can contact our payers? That's where the focus needs to be for the next 60 or 90 days. We don't even need to have a conversation about coding for 60 or 90 days.
Right. But I mean, like the impact, like when you say like changing all the forms, you're talking about just the patient, like even when they take a history and you know how you go to a new doctor and they give you a list and they say, do you have history?
Some of those are written forms, right. You know, the average super bill now, if it's converted to ICD-10, goes from 2 pages to 20 pages. So these doctors that are married to a super bill, have they addressed that? I mean, that's not anything to do with the doctor learning a code. Right? Or the coders learning a code, but it's a form. So it's something that if they're going to stay married to, they've got to address how to change that. You know, find a vendor that has that, right? Get familiar with that. You know, when they're writing referrals, if the wrong code goes to the wrong doctor who's referring, and then the referring doctor gets that and orders tests, then nobody gets paid. So while the codes, yes, are important, the impact is so far reaching past that doctor thinking all about himself and what he has to do. You know, he has to look at it in the bigger picture of whether it's a form that maybe your practice management software has. So you do an intake form that is actually, you know, in a computer program. That's fine. That form might need to be updated. But, you know, every practice still has paper forms as well. And most of those forms or many of those forms need a diagnosis code, already have a diagnosis code on them. That's just one area to address in your office. You know, when you're scheduling patients, and you start scheduling surgeries 2 months in advance, there's a code attached to that, right? Those people you have to think about those codes in relation to pre-authorizations, splitting claims. When you do a home health, you know, treatment plan or PT or OT or something like that, and it starts on August 1st and goes through December 1st, that's a split claim they're going to have to do by date of service, dual coding. You know, the non-covered entities don't have to move to ICD-10. So auto insurance and disability insurance, don't have to move. And there's another one too, and it just went out of my head, but workers' comp, they don't have to move to ICD-10. So forever, or at least the next few years, you have to have the ability to dual code. All of these things have nothing to do with putting your doctor in a class. But right. Somebody has to say, what about our templates? What about our pick list? What about upgrading all these things? How much is that going to cost? When can you be ready for that? When can we start testing? Your doctor doesn't even need a code or a class for that to happen. But if that don't happen, he can be the brightest guy in the world when it comes to October 1st on seeing the code. But if right. the testing's not proper and the testing's not been done and there's issues with the 5010 upgrade now with ICD-10, nobody's getting paid.
You know, on that note, we have to take a quick break. But if you want, please join us and come back. We're live, so I want to take your calls. I'll give you the phone number as soon as we come back from break. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Business of Medicine on TalkZone. Here's Sharon Hollander.
Good morning. We're live this morning. So if you have any questions or would you like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at area code 888-463-6748. Once again, that number is 888-463-6748. We're talking with Lisa Asbell, who's an absolute expert on making the transition in your practice and or hospital to the ICD-10 migration. Before the break, Lisa, we were talking about physicians needing to set aside a budget and to actually have a project management or a project manager in place to go through the steps of what they need to do in the next 2 to 3 months to get ready for the ICD-9 transition. So I guess my question is that, so based on your experience, what's your estimate that how much is it going to cost the average provider to do this integration of these changes?
Well, number one, there are multiple reports out there, everything from the RAND survey to the Medical Group Managers Association, the MGMA, the AMA also has one, the American Medical Association. So there are many reports out there. So I can't say it's my opinion at all. I guess you can say with, you know, all the greatest experts, we have a guy that on our team that actually does consulting for my firm, and his name is Stanley Knockamson, and he's probably the number one, I guess, content expert on ICD-10 as far as the timeline and transition and impact in the country, in the U.S., and maybe even in the world. And Stanley has said that, you know, when you shake it down, and I don't care which one, whether you look at MGMAs, the AMAs, it comes back down to being somewhere between $10,000 and $25,000 per provider in a practice. And that's because about 50% of that budget comes from lost productivity, whether it's your coder's coding, whether it's seeing fewer patients because the doctor's doing his own coding. And as the first couple of months from October and November, as he gets used to picking those codes, whether he's on an iPad or on some type of, you know, smartphone, and he's seeing the patient, he's making his notes, and he's going through his EMR, and he's selecting those codes and making sure that he's documenting maybe what needs to be documented so he gets to the right code, and every system's going to be different. So every doctor will need to be trained on that particularly. But you're talking about seeing fewer patients. So really you might need to consider even scheduling 10 to 15% fewer appointments for at least the month of October, so you can see, you know, until you can see and judge really that productivity. But that, when you're looking at $10,000 to $25,000 per provider in a practice, so a 5-provider practice could cost anywhere between $50,000 to $150,000, then you've got to look at, okay, 50% off the top is going to come from loss of productivity. You know, are we going to need extra coders? Are we going to have to pay them overtime? I mean, all of those things, we're going to see fewer patients. You know, there's going to be some kind, you know, rejection and denied claims, and somebody has to deal with ICD-9 denied claims, you know, after October 1st, and then going forward, who's doing that? You know, how are we measuring our payers, and are we going to pay a company to do that for us? And so, you know, when you're looking at that cost and putting that budget together, when we get those high numbers, like 10 to 20,000 per provider, you're talking about 50% off the top coming from lost productivity. And you'll hear a lot of people say documentation, but it goes down to lost productivity. And that's just one piece. I mean, the software upgrades alone, if you went with a small EMR company or one of those free EMR companies and it's a small one, they may sunset. They may never even have that in their budget to make the transition to ICD-10. So, you know, there will be payers, smaller payers that may sunset and not make the transition. Because think about it from the payer or an EMR company's opinion or view. It's still going to cost them $10,000 per provider as well. So when a payer, you know, through some type of program has 1,000 providers on, how much is that going to cost that organization? Small payers won't be able to make the transition because they have to do the same staff training. They're going to have the same learning curves. They're going to have overtime as well. So, you know, I just don't think that people get it, Sharon, at why putting that budget together is so important. You know, I mean, can you shave money on some of the other things? Yes. You know, you can try to get your office manager to manage it without having any outside resources, but then she's not doing the job she normally does for you.
Right.
So that's an impact as well in productivity. So, you know, yes, you will have some coding books and training costs. And so you have hard costs to system upgrades that you might consider comes from, you know, 5,000 of maybe that 10,000 per provider. But the rest comes in productivity. And it's so important. That's why, you know, I said to you, I don't really get into my clients initially. I don't talk to them about coding and documentation. It's insignificant to me if they haven't done these other things.
Right. Well, it's interesting because, you know, we're a small billing company and our niche market are solo practitioners or small groups. And they just sort of pass the buck to us about, you know, okay, you'll just update my super bill with the new codes and you'll just do this and you'll just send our credentialing in. And I'm like, no, this is costing my organization lots of money. They're going to have to, you know, foot the bill for it. I'm not going to just spend 1,700 hours migrating to ICD-10
and
for them.
That's, Sharon, why you cannot talk to them about coding and documentation. You know, when they're your specific clients, you have to do right by them and show them the whole impact. Show them every area of their practice. Show them what a budget looks like. And you have to walk them through. We do a lot of work with billing companies, and the reason billing companies retain us to do that, it's not something I ever planned to do, but because we want to take the heat off the billing company. Because one of the greatest myths out there about ICD-10 that I've been trying to dispel for a whole year now, maybe even longer than a year, is my billing company will handle it, or my EMR company is going to handle it, right? But your EMR company cannot put together a training plan. Your EMR company cannot make sure your documentation is correct. Your EMR company is not going to come in and upgrade your paper forms. Right? Your EMR company is not going to set up a system for you to split claims. Your EMR company, right, cannot do an impact assessment for you and put together a budget. So it's just there's so much information. And if I were you, just an idea for you, for your clients, you have to get them on board with the whole idea of what the impact is. That's what we do for billing companies. We just, as a matter of fact, retained a very large client. I'm very excited about it. It's going to be a lot of work for us. But, you know, and it's because we went in and trained their staff because their staff says we're getting all these questions about ICD-10. And, yeah, we may know what the 10 code is, right? And we can do our piece, but we can't answer some of these questions they're asking us. And, you know,
like what specifically, like give us a for instance on that question, like how to update their super bill kind of thing, or?
It could be anything like that to, you know, we're, you know, because, you know, the billing company for the most part may handle the payers, right? But the billing company does not negotiate those provider contracts. Well, this is a great opportunity with ICD-10 because there's not one-to-one mapping with it. This is a great opportunity to say, well, this is our reimbursement for this. But now with ICD-10, when we're going to be treating these same asthma patients, but you're going to know if it's persistent, you're going to know if it's intermittent, you're going to know if they came in with an exacerbation, what's our reimbursement on that? Because now we can say we're going to have longer visit times. All of those are ideas that ICD-10 are benefits that ICD-10 bring to us that people aren't thinking past, send my doctors to a class and teach him some documentation. There's a lot of
or even just the code.
Right, for higher reimbursement.
Yeah. I mean, I had one client who just gave us the name of a website that will do the crosswalk for you. So you put the ICD-9 in and it gives you the ICD-10 choices. And I'm like, that's not going to be enough.
Right. And really it starts to me with billing companies as well, that you've got to get the education out there to your clients. I mean, so what we do and the guide that I put together, I wrote my own program. And the reason I did is because I started downloading the free CMS stuff and the HEMA toolkit and, you know, some of the Excel formats and stuff that AAPC has. And I was just looking for research to try to help people. I didn't mean to write my own program or write my own guide. And then what I realized is the average busy office manager today, and believe me, I have probably, I don't know, I've trained thousands in ICD-10 as far as the process. So what I always ask in every crowd, whether it's 100 people there or 1,000, how many of you guys have downloaded some of the free tools online, or you've used GEMS and tried to convert, or you got the 60-page guide from CMS? How many of you guys have done that? And a few will raise their hand or whatever, and a small percentage, maybe 10%. And then I'll say, and how many of you guys actually printed that out and you're working to manage your project? Not one ever. And I've been in probably 40 states at least with ICD-10. Not one ever has said, oh, I use it, it's great, and it's really helped me, and we're right up to where we should be in our implementation. And so when I put together ours, I took a lot of their information, but I made it in steps. Step one, project manager or practice manager, do this. Step two, do this. Step three, do this. Here's a form for your impact assessment. Here's a form for your budget, you know. And because I wanted it to be, and I offended one the other day because I said, I've made it so simple a fifth grader could do it. And so she's like, well, what are you saying we are? And I'm like, I'm saying you're busy. Not that you're not intelligent people. But the reason you don't work with the free guide and you'll pay $749 for mine is because the CMS guide does not break it down that gives you tasks to do in the last 2 months or 6 months or 9 months. You know what I'm saying? They don't break it down, and they write it in legal terminology and in IT terminology. And unless you're a practice manager or a CEO of a multi-specialty clinic with 100 providers, you don't think in those terms. You think in, oh my God, I got 100 fires to put out today, and Sally called in sick, and I got to fire this employee, and this one might be stealing from me, and the doctor's breathing down my neck, and we're running behind, and patients are screaming in the waiting room. Okay, so let me go through this, you know, 60-page thing from one of these free online programs that won't even tell me what to do. And it's just, it doesn't help them. And it's proof that it doesn't help them, because all of these other organizations do all these free webinars. CMS does them all the time, you know, and I'm not bashing them. They do, as far as the education piece, they do a great job, and there's great information in them, but it's not laid out in a way that a busy practice manager can actually make it work for her. And that's why we keep having these conversations about documentation and sending my people to a class and what the billing company is going to do it for me, or my EMR company, because nobody's getting it. They're just not getting it.
Yeah, well, what's going to happen is, like you said, they'll get it when, you know, come October 15th and their reimbursement says 0000, right?
Right.
Then they're going to be screaming.
And then if they don't have a war chest, or they don't have capital set aside for that, they're going to be back in the same, you know, they're going to be even worse, because, you know, CMS, along with every other country, and there's 151 who have made the transition to ICD-10, they all say the same thing. And they say you need 6 months of cash, operational cash, in the bank on October 1st to carry you through this transition. That's the back end. That has nothing to do with the $10,000 to $25,000 per provider they need between now and October 1st. So it makes more sense when you hear that. I mean, and I will say to you too this, Sharon, you know, and your listeners, no provider ever knows this information. Never. They sit and they look at me with their mouths dropped open, and I'm like, you know, and typically I'm a little intense today, I know, and typically my seminars are very fun, and I tell a lot of jokes, and I really try to bring them around, because, you know, I want to engage with them, and I want them to understand I'm on their side. But, you know, it's just like if I'm treating a patient with cancer and I'm in their shoes, right? I could be all warm and fuzzy all day long. But that won't get them the treatment they need if they decide they want to try all natural instead of chemo. So
right.
At some point, I have to be direct with these guys and say, here are your options. you get this right and you manage this right and you set these funds aside, or epic fail. And if I don't talk to them that way, they won't get it. And I will say this about the coding and the documentation. One of the best ways to engage your provider, right, to at least get him to tune an ear to you so you can say, we need a project manager. We need you an impact assessment. We're going to need maybe some outside resources to help us through this thing, right? We're going to need this. We're going to need that. The best way to tune him in is to present a budget to him along with some potential benefits for ICD-10 if you get it right. And then his top codes with the documentation elements already there. So that is a great way to at least get the doctor to listen to you, to say, I know all you, again, they don't care about labor pain. They want to see a baby. So here's the baby. Here's some benefits, and here's what we learned from other countries. You know, we are going to have faster reimbursed claims. We are going to have fewer denied claims. If we get it right, we're going to be able to negotiate with our payer contracts and maybe negotiate higher rates on sicker patients. There's a lot of wonderful things we can do with this if we do it right. Here's what it's going to cost us. And as far as what you need to know for documentation, here's your top 40 codes. Here are the top documentation elements. These 20, nothing's changed. You'll do everything for the same. And on these 20, this is a different thing. You're going to have to add what visit it is. You're going to have to add the left or the right. You're going to have to tell the type of healing or fracture. You're going to be asked for exactly how the injury occurred. So those are the things that you're going to need to add. So that's great to go ahead and show them the baby with that. But you've got to include those benefits, and you've got to also include that budget, because it's his practice, it's his business. I know your show's called The Business of Healthcare. Well, you know what? This is certainly not monkey business with ICD-10. It's serious business. And if they don't look at the business side and they're all caught up on the coding side, they're not going to make it.
Because they're missing the big picture, right?
They just don't see the forest for the trees. And that's why, as you can see, hear the passion in my voice, Sharon. I'm passionate about getting the message out. I am. You know, whether they ever hire me or call me or want me to do any consulting firm, I don't care. I'm only, you know, I have a very small firm with about 8 consultants, and I can't help everybody anyway. But, you know, using a platform like this, like your radio show, is a great platform to really be able to show these guys, please, you know, and here's the thing too. You know, I sometimes I'll train doctors, and there's a lot.
Wait,
of them.
Wait, can you hold that thought for 1 second? Because we just have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
And now, more of The Business of Medicine on TalkZone.com. Here's Sharon Hollander.
Good morning. If you've just joined us, we're talking to Lisa Asbell, who's an expert on the transition to ICD-10. If you want to join our conversation or if you have questions, we're live. You can call us at area code 888-463-6748. Before the break, we were just talking about preparing a budget for these physicians to get them on board with how much it's actually going to cost them to do this transition. And one of the things that, Lisa, you mentioned before, that you have a guidebook for purchase. Can you give us the website where clients or listeners can get that information?
I will. And I want to add, because, you know, I really don't like to do sales pitches. I really like to be the subject matter expert. But I will say this. Our website is trainrx.net. So just like you ride a train or you get training, and Rx like prescription. So trainrx.net. And the guide, it's not just the book, Sharon, that we have. That $749 actually puts you into a system. So you'll fill out a form once you get your book in the mail. That's the first thing that'll happen. And then we actually mail that to you. And then it walks you through step by step, and it's brilliant. It has the forms. It's very simple. I mean, anybody can use it. A busy practice manager that's been a practice manager for 2 days can go through this guide and use it. So it's very simple. The other thing that we do is we put you then into a system when we get your form back. So we get other emails if you want to include, like, your billing people or coders or whoever you want to include in our communication. And then we do webinars every week. You get unlimited email consulting. For most specialties, we have the top 50 codes already converted. We will have free, you never pay us another penny, generic coding training available specifically for our clients on webinars starting in March, and it may be toward the end of the March, but we have outsourced that with another company that we partnered with. We really try to be the go-to resource. So any other time you get any emails about ICD-10, you can kind of ignore them and then just know that TrainRx is going to keep you posted and updated on all the stuff. So up until the end of the year, you'll have unlimited email consulting. And we do some on-site project management and some remote project management, too. And, of course, we charge extra for that. But with that $749, I had a group of pediatricians in Ohio. Virtually every pediatrician in the state of Ohio is our client. And I had a group of pediatricians tell me just a few weeks ago, like, if we could get down to money and time that this saves us, and in resources, you've probably saved us $10,000 or $15,000 for the $749. So there you go. I'm not trying to do a sales pitch. I just want you to understand what you're getting. It's not just that 44-page guide.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, like I mentioned before, my niche has been solo practitioners and small groups. And what's unique to them is many of them are surgeons or hospital-based providers that have absolutely no support staff whatsoever except the billing company. And
right.
So they delegate all this responsibility to us because they don't have staff. And it's, you know, Obviously it's frustrating.
Well, I think it would be a good resource for you too, Sharon. I think it would be helpful. And listen, I say every day, we don't claim to know it all. We certainly don't know everything, but we certainly have a good handle and have the experts that do know it all and know everything.
Right. Well, it's tough. Like you said, there's so many things that we haven't even considered. Like for us, from the billing perspective, obviously we have a software vendor that we work very closely with, and they get all the specs from CMS. And so, you know, we're getting ready to actually migrate to the new CMS 1500 form in the next couple weeks. I think, I'm not sure if it's March 1st is the deadline for that or April 1st. And that's going to change from having 4 diagnoses per CPT line item to 12 diagnosis potential.
Right.
So it's a huge software update. And then with any software update, you know, the vendor's ready, but the payers aren't necessarily ready to receive the data. And plus, like you said, we have to run two systems because patients that are seen on September of 2014 will have ICD-9s in their database. And then after October, we'll have ICD-10. And then when we do follow up on those outstanding claims, we have to be able to follow up on claims that have ICD-9 codes, correct?
Right. Yes, absolutely. Dual coding will continue and you know, endlessly. Because even after October 1st, if there's a workers' comp issue on October 2nd or a disability claim, they don't have to upgrade to ICD-10. So you'll still be using a 9 code and submitting it.
Yeah, it's
so
really something.
Still have to run. It is something, and I do. Again, I feel for doctors. I am not a big proponent of all the changes in healthcare, but I do see that there is value in it in moving to an e-health environment, and that's what we're trying to create here. And I see the value of all of these things for that purpose. But on the other side, there's 99 other things that make it frustrating and where it doesn't seem worthwhile, where it doesn't seem like a good idea, right? So there's all of those challenges as well. And I definitely understand the frustration from every angle.
But, you know, it's just funny because, like, historically, you know, doctors and change are not something that's very synonymous. They seem
they're
to
not very good at it, are they?
They're not very good at change at all. And what they do is they just sort of sit back and tell me, well, what's the other, you know, that was one of the reasons that I wrote my book, Medical Billing Horror Stories, is because I got calls all the time asking me, well, what are the other doctors doing? And, you know, one day I jokingly said, oh, the other doctors are going to jail. And then they said, what? You know? Because they just don't.
I get it. they don't get it. They're not good at change. They don't like change. They're very slow to change. And you know, and here's the thing too, is that I was talking to somebody about this just yesterday about part of the reason, and this is totally kind of off of ICD-10, but it just shows that I think is some of the relationship with providers and some of the challenges is that they have never had to work for business. You probably have had to work for business. You have to do marketing. I have to. We have to become experts and then try to find ways to market ourselves to get our clients through the door. I think right. traditionally doctors have never had to do that. It's changing now. But forever, they never had to do that. So because that came so easy to them, they just in their mind thought that then they're good at the business of healthcare too. So they never really wanted to outsource. They never wanted to let any of it go. They wanted to keep it all in because their just mindset is, I'm so good at getting the business in the door, then I don't need any outside help. Well, they're going to start realizing that they're terrible at business. They do need outside help. They do need other experts. I mean, you as a small business owner and me as a small business owner, we have no problem whatsoever outsourcing. I have clients or consultants that I've outsourced much work to because they know parts of ICD-10 that I don't know. And I never think about that. But to ask the doctor to outsource to a billing company or a revenue cycle management company and give up control, I mean, it's like asking them for their firstborn child.
Right.
But I think
what's really funny is it's just perceived control. It's not even real control because they just perceive that if it's in the...
Right, they're out of control. They have no control. There's no telling the money and the revenue that's sitting there and their accounts payable or accounts receivable. I mean, yeah, accounts receivable. There's no telling the money that's there because of mistakes, because of people not checking, because of slow payment, because of denied claims. And, you know, ICD-10 is great. It's such a great opportunity, Sharon, for these guys to realize, okay, this is something extra special here. Let me outsource to a billing company. Let me outsource to a revenue cycle management company and let the experts handle it. Because my coder that's 62 years old or my biller that's 62 years old, not that I'm, you know, I'm getting a little bit older myself. So, but, you know, they're ready to retire. They don't want to learn new stuff. They don't, you know, they're tired. And here's the other piece of that. That whole auditing piece of lack of medical necessity and fraud and abuse because they didn't do it right and the doctor didn't document and then the coder coded it and the biller submitted the claim. I mean, you got a hot mess coming out. I mean, this is going to be a hot mess for these providers and they better wake up. And I am a huge proponent of billing companies, huge proponent of revenue cycle. I could be your best commercial, let me tell you. Because I think
good. On that, speaking of commercials, we have to take another quick break and then we'll be back with Lisa Asbell on TalkZone.com.
You're listening to The Business of Medicine on TalkZone.com. Back to Sharon Hollander.
Hi, welcome back. We're talking with Lisa Asbell, who's an expert in training for ICD-10 transition. Before the break, Lisa, we were talking about how important it's going to be for providers to select a correct billing service and a revenue cycle management company to assist them because, first of all, the cost of them just upgrading their individual information system for billing is probably going to be, you know, cost prohibitive for them to keep up with these changes. But also, you know, I want to just, for me, I see there's a lot of business opportunity as a small billing company, but we also have to be very selective to take on clients who get it because, you know, like you said, if they don't have the right forms, they don't have the right systems in place, it's going to be a financial disaster.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do a lot of that for billing companies just like yours. You know, I do a lot of webinars for them and do a lot of work with their clients. And yes, some, it's funny you say that because some do use me to market. I did one yesterday and they use me to say, you know, it's smart to outsource this stuff. But at the same time, they realize if their providers don't get it right, and they don't do what they need to do on their end in their office and they're not educated, then you're going to fail. Because you will go out of business as well. So you can't go to jail for submitting things that aren't right. You can't afford not to have the right codes and the right claims, and he's got the wrong documentation, and all of it goes together. I mean, and it's also attached to hospitals too, Sharon, as well. I mean, hospitals are getting patients all the time referred from doctors, right? So it goes both
right.
ways. You go to admit a patient on the wrong diagnosis and the wrong code, the tests are ordered, and you've got just a mess. And then it all goes back to, then that means poor patient care. Why did we do all these x-rays, or why did they have a PET scan? Because we had a diagnosis for one thing and it should have been something else because the doctor didn't get it right. So, you know, I work with hospitals all the time and say, you know, I can't come in and do your transition for you, of course, at a hospital, but what I can do is I can do seminars here at your hospital in your free room that you already have paid for in your conference room, and you bring in your providers and you put them in a chair and let me teach them what they need to know so that they get it right in their office. And then when you're admitting patients that they've referred to you, then you know that they know what they're doing. So it is all connected, and that's why we work with hospitals for that very reason, because it's all connected.
Right. I mean, and the thing is, I don't know if this is like outside the scope of your expertise, but can a billing service like mandate, like to all their clients, say, if you want to be our client as after October 1st, you got to take this class or purchase this guidebook?
Absolutely. You have the right to do that. You do. And I'm working with a company right now. I work with several. I've worked with several that actually bought it for their clients and billed their clients for it. Right. I've worked for others who've made it voluntary. So, you know, you absolutely have the right to do it, because if they fail, you fail. And let me just tell you, not only do you have the right to do it, Sharon, you really, ethically speaking, should do it, because you know what they don't know. And you know, if they don't get it right, they're going to fail. So even if it's not self-serving to protect your own family and your own business, you know, it works both ways. Do it to protect them. Because if they take their business away or they go down the street to somebody else has to tell them the same thing. You really owe it to your client to give them the right information. That's for sure.
All right. And also, like, you know, I can already see the faces when I tell them about their budget. You know, because I don't know about your experience.
It's not an easy talk to have. Listen, it's not an easy talk to have. They don't believe it. They're mad. They're frustrated. You know, they're irritated. They don't want to listen. It's definitely not easy. I know, because I've done it now many, many times over, and it's just not an easy thing to do. But unfortunately, it's a necessary thing to do. And it's the right thing to do, because you know what they don't know. And, you know, unless they listen to this call or this your show, or unless they've really gotten good information, I'm sure that you've looked for information. And I don't think, and I think you can tell me, you probably never heard some of the stuff you're hearing today. Right?
Well,
and that's because.
For sure. I mean, definitely, like, I've been in the loop in terms of the estimate of how much it's going to cost to migrate your practice. But I never really sort of put it together to say, okay, what are those costs for? And when you start talking about basically revitalizing every form that's used in the office, every referral, you know, all the interaction with other doctors, I know about the software costs to migrate, you know, forms. It's just like, it's pervasive in terms of how much education they need versus what they just think that they can just go into, you know, the internet and get the right ICD-10 code. You know, and I think that the AMA does a terrible job of educating them on what needs to be done.
I think that there are, you know, some of it is good intentions, but I think at the end of the day, we've got a mess on our hands, and every expert that I know that knows a lot more than me about it says we're headed for disaster in healthcare on October 1st if we don't really change the tide here. And as long as the AMA keeps going out to different congressmen and representatives and filing stuff and begging CMS and begging the payers, and as long as they keep that mass confusion up, you know, the best thing of all is the confused mind does nothing. And these providers are confused, so they're doing nothing. And the only people that are going to be successful here, Sharon, are the people that educate, like you, a company that has that has providers as clients. That's why we work with all types of vendor partners to educate their clients at what they need to do. And listen, this is not rocket science. Now, when you're talking about some of the technical stuff, it gets a little crazy. But this is not rocket science. This is, we just need a systematic, these 10 steps that we have to repeat over and over every month, right? Not even the budget. Maybe check where we are on the budget or, you know, but these are, this is not rocket science here. You know, when you get, if you get our guide or you follow a system like that, and as far as I know, it's the only one on the planet, and I am proud of that. But if you get that and you start doing those steps and you teach your clients to do those steps or you work with them with that, I got to tell you, this is not rocket science. It's not that hard to do, but it has to be done or it won't work.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's not going to work either because, but I mean, there's still speculation that they're going to delay it. Do you feel that that's the case or not?
That's done. There will be no more delay. That's it. That's over. I hope, Sharon, I never hear those words come out of your mouth again.
I know. Well,
I do. I do. You would never even hear me say, perhaps there's a chance they will, because then that just creates more mass confusion, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Absolutely, there will be no delay. You have to prepare for it. You have to make the changes and make the steps. We've already spent $1 billion on the ICD-10 transition. $1 billion. Between hospitals and payers and vendors, $1 billion has been spent. It is going forward on October 1st.
Okay, I believe you. You scared me into doing something.
I'm not trying to scare you. I'd like to.
No, I'm just kidding. But it's true. I mean, the thing is, they need a little scare. I mean,
they do need a little scare because here's the thing. So what if they're overprepared? So what if they're overprepared and it turns out it only cost them a third of what they thought they were going to do? They didn't have, I mean, I always relate it, and I know we're ending here, but I'll relate it to Y2K. I mean, I remember working as a labor and delivery nurse on night shift, and they made this, I was at this little tiny hospital in Georgia working, and they made this big deal about everybody being on call and all hands on deck, and we don't know if the world's coming to an end, you know, when the year 2000 hits. We don't know if all these systems are in place. Well, you know what? The lights didn't even flicker. Well, you know what? I would love to think that ICD-10 can be that, but here's the difference. We weren't IT people. I wasn't an IT person. I wasn't working for the electrical company. I wasn't, you know, the computer whiz behind the genius that made it all go forward, that made everything click over, right? But somewhere billions of dollars were spent and thousands of hours went into making sure it did happen correctly and it did happen the right way. See, we don't see all of that. All we say is, oh, they make a big deal and nothing happens. We don't know the prep that went into it. But here's the thing. 151 other countries have already transitioned. They've already told us the woes. Canada's never recovered, right? So we know the challenges some of those companies had. The companies that were the most technical and that are most technically literate with the smartest people had the best results because they were prepared. But they've all said, have cash on hand to carry you through and start your transition early. Over-prepare. And we haven't done that part. So that means that we've either got to make up a lot of time in the next 6 or 7 months, and we have to have a bank of cash, too. So those are the things that you've got to do. But you've got to do those internal steps and get those right. Get coding and documentation for the next 60 to 90 days out of your brain. Don't worry about it at all. Worry about the budget, the timeline, where's the money coming from, the impact assessment, handling resources, putting a project manager in place, getting a team, and getting some assignments. And we'd love to help you. Our program will help you do that. It's very simple. And would love to work with anybody. You know, I'd just love to be a resource.
Yeah, it looks like we're, unfortunately, we're out of time. But if anybody wants to reach out and get a copy of this guide, they can do so at your website at trainrx.net. Thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to having you back on another episode of TalkZone.com.